Well, as you probably know, or maybe startled to discover, it's Ash Wednesday this coming week. We're already going to be beginning the season of Lent. And I saw something on Facebook this week, which was kind of helpful. It suggested that you purge one thing every day for 40 days during Lent. Now, for those of you, and I know there are a few of you who are downsizing, this is easy because you're right in the middle of it. And that probably works really well for you. A bit of a trial for the rest of us, however, and perhaps a good challenge. Because we accumulate things, don't we? And we hold on to them. Even people who seem to have nothing have something that they cherish and hold on to physically. We need to hold on to things, to grasp them in our hands. I bet you all can remember your favorite stuffed toy from when you were a child, and you may even still have it. I have my monkey. We also hold on to emotions. Remember how you felt when you woke up on Christmas morning, whenever you were a young person. And then there's our thoughts. These are the hardest, perhaps, to let go of. I'm a bad person, or I'm a really good person. I'm important, or I'm not important at all. We have those thoughts that we hang on to. And all through our lives, the things we hold on to are challenged when change happens, as we grow and mature and life goes on and intervenes sometimes when we don't expect it to. Now today, we see this happening, the actual moment, this action in our gospel. Peter, James, and John head up the mountain with Jesus. He's their interesting teacher and challenging friend who is always bucking the norm. They're on another trip with him. You know, they've been all over the place, and now they're going up a mountain. They shouldn't be surprised by this. And they've had glimpses along the way of hearing that he's God's only son or seeing him work miracles. But first and foremost, he's their friend. He's their companion. And to actually believe that he is more than that would require from them a lot of change. And so they're caught between what they experience every day, what they hold on to in that relationship, and what they suspect may actually be the case. So they get up the mountain, and they're probably tired, and they're probably really glad for a break. And then Jesus begins to change. His face shines like the sun. His clothes become dazzling white. And if that wasn't enough, Moses and Elijah appear and starting a conversation with Jesus. Not with them, with Jesus. Jesus is transfigured, not only in his appearance, but in their thoughts, their emotions, and their experience. Transfiguration is a moment of change. And transfiguration insists that change must happen, but it's difficult. This moment for the disciples rocks their world, but undoubtedly they needed it, just like we all do from time to time. Because transfiguration or change demands reorientation, whether we're ready for it or not. And almost always, change happens before our new perspective is adequately in place. So Peter, caught in the midst of this, you know, he's the extroverted one. I have some sympathy for Peter. He speaks always. And he's caught in that moment. He's caught in that suspension between wanting things to stay the way they've always been, the way he's been used to them, and knowing clearly the change is afoot. So he does what we all do. He wants to build a structure, right then and there, a tent. This is a great metaphor for this in-between experience. A tent, as you all know, and anyone who's ever slept in one, is not a permanent structure. It's wonderful when you're traveling from place to place and you want to pause for the night or for maybe a couple of weeks in a spot, but none of us wants to live in a tent all year round. But it gives us a space away, a different time, a different place. And that's what it does in today's gospel. It's trying to give them some time. Peter's saying, can we just like hang on here for a moment? Can we hold on to this and not go any farther? Because I really want to just pause here. I don't want to give all that stuff up that we've had till now, and I'm not ready to go on the other side of it, but let's just build a structure and wait here a little while. You've all been through this. I'm sure you have. I thought of my brother and sister-in-law, Ralph and Dorothy. They used to own a very large bed and breakfast. Before that, they had a dairy farm. They sold that, had a bed and breakfast full of lovely antique furniture. And they decided it was time to sell. And so they put it up, and they waited for years. And so it became the status quo. You know what it's like, waiting for a property to sell. And eventually, one day, it sold. And they had decided that when that happened, they would have a huge auction sale and sell everything, put the rest of their belongings in storage, and then take a couple of years to figure out what they wanted to do. Sounds like a great plan. Well, I was there the day of the auction sale, and it went on for 8 hours. It was a very long day, and it was very exhausting, and it was kind of like that transfiguration moment when all of the weight got lifted off their shoulders. But then the next day, they had to take the remaining things that they had, put them in a moving truck, and take them to their storage unit. And I witness the moment of Peter saying, let's build a tent. I'm watching these boxes go by, we're getting down to the last minute because there's a deadline, and I see a box going by of used margarine containers. You know the kind you use for leftovers? Those ones. Don't tell Ralph and Dorothy I told you this story. And there's this box, and I said to my brother, what is that? You're putting that in storage? That is clearly garbage, recycling, anywhere but storage. And he said, trust me, don't say a word right now. I said, okay, got it, right. So all this stuff went in the moving van, and off it went. And they went off traveling, spent the winter traveling, spent the summer in their cottage, did something else the next year, and then built a home. Once they built their home, they went to their storage unit to see what was in it. Much to their surprise, there was a box of margarine containers. They had moved, you see. They had been in that place that was familiar. They moved into the place of transfiguration when everything was changing and they wanted to hold on to something. And then they went into that change. They entered into it, and it all looked different. About probably 90% of what was in the storage unit, they got rid of. That's like us. Transfiguration is a threshold moment between what was and what's going to happen. Yet there was always a glimpse, right? Always a glimpse the whole way along. It's not that we couldn't see the change coming in our lives. It's not that we don't recognize what change looks like. We just wonder if we're ready. We wonder if we can handle it, if we're actually prepared. And we set up temporary structures so that we can feel like we know what we're doing for a moment, and to capture that moment, that memory, to cope with what's to come. You see, Peter wants Jesus to stay. He needs that memory about Jesus staying. The glory of the moment, the confirmation of Jesus being God's son, the assurance, the promise, the declaration, because he's going to need it later on. He's going to need it big time in the weeks that follow. Letting go is almost impossible without the act of holding on at the same time. And as we move into Lent, this seems essential. We need to hold on while we let go. Let go of our images of God. Let go of control. Let go of certainty. Let go of conviction. Even letting go of the resurrection and that moment. The crucifixion. Letting it all go and just standing in that moment. Now, if we think this is something that's only about our faith, remember, it's about when we move. It's about when we change our jobs. It's whenever our relationships change. It happens all the time in our lives. Not every moment, because we couldn't handle that. We couldn't handle being in the moment of transfiguration all the time. But it does happen more than we like to admit. And that's why it's excruciating. Because change insists that you exist in a place that you don't want to be yet. It demands that you abide in a place called not yet resolved. It speaks of, I don't know. And it's a sense of grief about what was, and yet excitement for what's to come. So even though in the past I've always read this story differently, I've gotten frustrated or angry or thought, silly Peter, I realize, because we've been moving through a lot of change, that actually he's quite right. We want to build a tent to preserve the moment on the mountaintop. Some of us have spoken about how one of those mountains was at our vestry a couple of weeks ago, when everyone here, almost everyone, stood up to say we wanted to do something new and different and something we don't know anything really about. And that was a powerful, powerful moment. It was actually a moment of transfiguration. Transfiguration is not just the glory. It's not just, let's get over that now and come down the mountain. It's both. It's faith. It's the sense that change is necessary and truth is hard to accept. Moving on is essential, but we've got to reconcile the past. It's realizing that we need to walk into something. We have to live into it. And yet, we have to pause in this moment and enjoy that too. Change matters, no matter what it is, whether it's your heart, your mind, your soul, the stuff you own. It is heart and soul matter. Change exposes us. Change changes us. But change matters are the very essence of our faith. And there's one thing we mustn't forget. Through this whole period of change, of even things staying the same, of building structures to kind of hang on to the moment and moving into the future, in every one of those moments, God is there. God was there whenever the disciples were called. God is there whenever Jesus is transfigured and changed and shown to them to be God's son. And what does Jesus do when they're afraid? Because they're afraid of what's going to happen. He reaches out and touches them. He reaches out and reassures them and says, don't be afraid. And even when Jesus is gone, taken away to be crucified, God is there in that room with them and in that horrible moment. And eventually, the Spirit is sent to be with them. So we have 40 days in which to actually pause in that tent kind of place. Perhaps you will purge some things at your house or where you live. Perhaps you will purge a thought or an idea that has stuck with you for years and you realize it's kind of getting in the way now. Perhaps you will purge an emotion, an anger or a betrayal or something that you want to let go. But don't forget to build a tent or two to get you through it. Don't stay there, because when the storms come and the rains beat, the tent is not enough. But may you be reassured by Jesus reaching out and saying, do not be afraid. And may each one of us be transfigured into God's likeness, and at least one small part of each one of our lives be brought to new life at Easter. Amen.